This is City on the Hills podcast. We hope this message becomes a revelation in your heart and will encourage you to live a Christ-centered life. Thanks for checking out our podcast. Here's today's message.
Well, friends, thank you so much for taking the time to be able to celebrate with us today. I believe God's going to do something awesome in your life. We're in the middle of this amazing series called The Good Work, and I'd like to pray for us. Lord, I pray that even as we come to your word, that we will never be the same again, that your word will speak to us, that we will actually be impacted by your spirit as we remind ourselves and as we open ourselves to your word. Holy Spirit, we are so open to you, and we want your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, today I'm going to be talking on, it's our third session on the good work. And today I'm going to talk about the fact that if you want to do great works, you must do it with God. So if you want to work with God. Don't work for God, work with God. Ephesians 2:10 is our key text. It says that we are God's workmanship. We are his masterpiece. We are precious to God. But God says, he says, he created us in Christ Jesus for good works that he prepared for us in advance. So this is the reality, friends. We're not only his workmanship, but we are also his co-workers. He has not only prepared good works for us, he's also wanting us to co-work with us. Now, those of you who do not know, I've got a bicycle here on the stage, and I'm going to call my son up a little bit later. But this bicycle, we're going to be talking about how I fix bicycles at home. And so you can see it's right on his back. And I'm excited to be able to share with you just something of the heart of God. And I believe that God's going to come and unlock something of a faith and an enjoyment as I talk about that. So we'll get into that. So you don't want to dial out, but you actually want to share this, and so that we can be able to just experience God together. One of the biggest mistakes that I've ever made in my life is I have tried to do exactly the works of God without the presence of God. I've tried to do things for God instead of doing things with God. Now, it is good to do things for his glory. We know that our chief end, the reason why we exist, is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. That's the reason why we exist. But I'm learning that you cannot glorify God without God. You cannot love God without God. And so I would know that God had these great plans for my life. I would try and even attempt them, and then I would do it alone. Think I can do it for God. But God's never, ever, 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 ever going to ask any of us to do this alone. God will never ask you to raise those kids alone. God's never going to ask you to pray for the sick alone. God's never going to ask you to pray for people alone. God's never going to ask you to love someone alone. He's not even going to ask you to forgive someone alone. God will not ask you to run your career alone. If you're doing it without God, you are missing out. John 15 verse 5, and that's what we spoke about last week. Jesus says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. He says, he who abides in me abides. That word abide is also an intimate word. It means meno. It means to remain in God. It means to be connected to God. Those who remain in me, those who know me, he says, and I in him will bear much fruit. So you want to be fruitful, you want to have good works, you need to remain in Jesus. He says, for without me, you can do nothing. I can't do anything without God. You can't do anything without God. Nothing eternal, nothing of significance can we do without God. Now, God is merciful and gracious, but I'm learning this, is that God loves doing things with us more than he wants us to do things for him. I love that Jason Upton song where he speaks about everything you do, I want to do with you. Because doing things with you, it makes me happy. I love that. Think about it. Everything you do, God, I want to do with you. For doing things with you makes me happy. Everything you say, I want to say it too. He says, and even if I get it wrong, we just enjoy one another, even if I get it wrong. And then he says, merciful Father, I'm learning to trust that you love me the way that I am. My simple desire to help you means more to you than whether I really can. I've learned this about God, is that he loves us way more than what we can do for him. He didn't save us so that we can become employees. He saved us because he wants intimacy with us. That's why Adam was created, so that God can walk with Adam in the cool of the day. That's why Jesus Christ died. The veil was torn from top to bottom, and he gave us priority access into the throne room of grace so that we can obtain mercy, we can find grace and help in time of need. God wants us to be close to him because that's where we find real life. I'm going to ask Joshua to come up because I believe that God enjoys our company more than what he enjoys our results, the results that we end up producing. I believe that, like, I would fix this bicycle. We would fix bicycles. And this last Saturday, we just fixed bicycles. Am I right, Josh? And as you know, I sometimes get frustrated because I'm not so amazing. And I would have, like, a toolbox. Just want to get my toolbox here. And literally, I would say to Josh, hey, Josh, can you get me, like, the 10 spanner? And then Josh would get me the 10 spanner. And then often, I would see Josh just sitting there, and we would have a chat. Am I right? And you wouldn't do much sometimes on the bicycle itself. But we're spending time together. I learned this, is that for me, the highlight of fixing the bicycle is not the fact that the bicycle gets fixed. The highlight is the fact that I get to spend time with my boy. And that's our God. The highlight of him is not, hey, you got to accomplish X, Y, and Z. You got to get that right. Oh, no, you said it right. No, the highlight for him is that you do it with him. Thanks, Josh. Bless you abundantly. Even as I'm preaching right now, one thing I've learned about preaching is you get two kinds of preaching. You get preaching for people or for that people like what you say, or you can preach with God. And then when God is with you and I sense the pleasure of God, I sense the favor of God, I sense the presence of God, man, everything changes. I believe that God wants you and me to embrace his life. Now, Exodus chapter 33, verse 12, right through to verse to that whole chapter, we see how Moses is engaging with God, just like you might be engaging with God, saying, Lord, you called me to raise these kids, but you didn't say who you're going to help, who's going to help me. Lord, you called me to be able to make a difference, maybe at the kids' ministry, or to make a difference, to lead a light group, or maybe, Lord, you called me to go to another nation, but you didn't say who you're going to send to help me. I think we all need help. Hello? And then listen to how God responds to Moses. Let's go to Exodus chapter 33, verse 12. This is one of my life scriptures. Verse 12 says, Moses said to the Lord, you've been telling me, lead these people. Lord, you've been telling me to do those good work that you provided for me, the good work. He says, but you have not yet let me know whom you will send with me. You've said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. Now Moses says, now if I have found favor, if you are pleased with me, God, teach me your ways. I want to know your ways. God's ways is a reality. His ways is not about you and me doing stuff for him. God's ways is that everything flows from knowing him. It says that I may know you. Teach me your ways so that I can know you. He says, and I want to continue to find favor in your sight. Favor with you. He says, remember that this nation is your people. Look how the Lord responds. Moses is saying, who are you going to send? Are you going to send an angel with us? Who are you going to send with us? I love God's response. God says, I'm not going to send you a messenger. I'm not going to send you a bank manager. I'm not going to send you a professional. God says, my presence, I am going to give myself to you. My presence will go with you, says God, and I will give you rest. I love this. See, when God calls us to do great things, he wants to do it with us. And he promises that he's going to go with us. He will do this with us. And when we do it with God, we find rest. That's why Jesus said, he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Put my yoke upon you. It's still a yoke. There's still obedience. There's still a task. There's still a good work. But we don't do the good work with ourselves. We do it from a place of rest and peace with God. Verse 15, I love Moses' response. He says, then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. I want to challenge you and challenge me today. From my heart, I want to ask you, when you rise from the bed in the morning, could you pray this prayer? God, if your presence doesn't go with me today, I don't want to go. Lord, I'm going into that board meeting. Lord, I'm going into that sales meeting. Lord, I'm going into that classroom. Lord, I'm going to discipline my kids. Lord, if you don't go with me, I don't want to do it. I want to do this acknowledging and experiencing your presence. Because Matthew chapter 19, verse 26, Jesus looked at his disciples and he said to them, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. With man, impossible. With God, all things are possible. Isn't that amazing? With God, not only for God, but with God, in partnership with God. D.L. Moody said, if God be your partner, make your plans Great. Mark chapter 16, verse 20 says, then the disciples went out and they preached everywhere. So they were doing the good work. How did they do the good work? The Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by signs that accompanied it. Isn't that amazing? Signs followed when they worked with God. You want to see miracles in your life? You want to see miracles in your family? You want to see miracles in your workplace? You want to see miracles even in your own heart? And you want to overcome that depression maybe? Or maybe you want to overcome the fear that you're facing? You want miracles in your life? Do it with God. Amen? We do the natural, and then God does the supernatural. We just remind ourselves of who God is. We connect with God in his word. We remember, and we are sensitive to the presence of God. God does the supernatural with us. Even when it comes to making disciples, one of our greatest purposes in life is to make disciples. Jesus said, the great commandment, love God, love your neighbor. The great commission, make disciples of all nations. Now, all of us are called to make disciples. All of us can maybe this year have one person that we can invest in and disciple and pray with and share God's word with. Now, you say, but Mark, it's so difficult, man. I don't have the strength. I'm glad it's difficult for you because it's supposed to be difficult for you. We can't do it in our own strength. Jesus himself said when he told them to make disciples in Matthew 28, he says you need to teach them to obey everything I've commanded you, verse 20. And he says, and surely I am with you always, even till the very end of the age. Jesus says this. He says, if you're going to make disciples, watch this. I'll be with you. You won't have to do it on your own. I remember starting ministry when I was very young. And I was so excited that I'm going to work. Now I'm going to be full-time for God. You know, I'm going to work full-time. You know, like many guys come to church staff and they think, they're just going to have this amazing full-time experience. And as I was doing it, I was in it for about 5 weeks. And I realized that my compassion left. And the way that I used to care for people was no longer the same. And my heart wasn't breaking anymore. My heart wasn't moved like we spoke in the first session. My heart wasn't moved anymore. And I said, God, what's wrong with me? My prayer life was struggling. And my time in God's word was struggling. And I broke down and I cried. I said, God, what's wrong with me? And then as I cried, God reminded me of a dream that I dreamed, when I was 8 years old. I've told this story before, but I need to testify. I'm 8 years old, and my biggest dream as an eight-year-old was I just want to go to heaven one day. All I wanted is I just wanted to go to heaven. And I had this amazing dream that at our primary school, because we had flown in Boeings before, I knew what a Boeing looked like. And at primary school, I saw this big Boeing coming, and it said Jesus. And I knew Jesus is returning. It's his return. And I knew God was calling me as an eight-year-old for ministry. And what happened was this Boeing landed on the rugby field. And as it opened, it was like, Jesus. I was like, what? I'm the only one that can see Jesus coming. Woo! Woo. I was so excited about that. And then what happened was I saw Jesus and Jesus said, I'm here. And then I said, Jesus, I'm going to go and call everyone in the school to come and join us because I didn't want anyone to miss out on going to heaven. And I ended up going to the school. I went to the tuck shop. I went to every classroom. I said, Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. And I told everyone that Jesus had come. And I went all the way to the tennis fields to make sure that everyone heard that Jesus came. And then I started running back to the rugby field. And when I got back to the rugby field, the door closed. And everyone left without me. And I missed out on going to heaven. And then when I started ministry, God said to me, that dream meant the following. I never called you to go and tell people without me. You should have come to me so that I could have gone with you to invite everyone to come with me to heaven. I want to ask you, don't do this alone. Please, don't do this alone. We just celebrated Christmas. Christmas, we sing about it. He's Emmanuel, Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. He's Emmanuel, God with us. God close to us. He's made a way for us. He came down so that he can be with us. And we sing these carols of Emmanuel. It makes you think of Manny Pereira, one of my closest friends, or someone that I really miss, really respect. Manny passed away a few years ago, but Manny said he was totally unsaved, unchurched, and he went with his mom to like a Christmas carols gathering, and his name on his surname, on his ID, is Emmanuel Pereira. And so they were singing about Emmanuel on this, and he saw the names on the screen, Emmanuel. And he bumped his mom. He said, they're singing about me, mom. They're singing about me. And so it's just a little bit of a funny thing about what Manny experienced. But God is Emmanuel, God with us. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, the second part says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. God says, never, ever, ever will I leave you or forsake you. I think this is why God hates sin so much. The reason why God hates sin is not because he's a spoil sport, because he knows what sin does. Sin destroys us, and sin separates us from God. Adam was enjoying God every day. He was walking with God in the cool of the day. Then he engages with sin, and all of a sudden he fears, he has fear, then he feels ashamed, and then he runs away from God. He hides himself from God. I don't believe God wants any of us to be ashamed, to be guilty, or to hide ourselves, or to live in fear. God doesn't want that for us. And that's why God is so strong about us living a life devoted to him, pure for him, committed to him, so that we can be close to him and experience him close to God. One person many, many years ago said, God doesn't move away from us. God doesn't move. Like I spoke last week, the Niagara Falls, it's consistent. God does not move away from us. But if God feels far away, guess who moved? You and I are the only ones that can choose how much we want to experience and know God. The greatest success you and I can experience in life, the greatest success, is not a big bank account or a nice car or a great promotion or even fame or fortune or international recognition. The biggest success you and I can experience in life is to experience the presence of God. That's your greatest success. I want to encourage you, parents, will you raise your kids in God's presence? Will you go to work, employees and owners of companies, will you go to work in the presence of God? Will you have meals in the presence of God? Will you have a shower in the presence of God? Will you drive your car in the presence of God? As you know, one of my favorite books is by Brother Lawrence called The Practice of the Presence of God. And Brother Lawrence speaks about the fact that you can, even while doing menial things, I'm talking mowing the lawn, I'm talking washing the dishes, I'm talking taking out the trash, you can experience God. He tells a story about washing the dishes and having this glorious experience of God while he's busy washing the dishes. You and I can experience God even through the mundane, everyday life. Four things I want to help you that will help you and me. Four things that will help us to experience God's presence every single day, to do this good work with God. Number one, cultivate a lifestyle of worship and giving thanks. I've learned this, is that what worship and thanksgiving does, it takes our focus off ourselves and it puts our focus on God. The presence of God, God says he inhabits the praises of his people. Psalm 100 says, we enter his courts with thanksgiving, we enter his gates with praise. One of the keys to experiencing God's presence is worship, praise, and thanksgiving. I want to encourage you to grow in that. And even if you struggle, get a good CD, download a couple of good songs, and listen to worship and worship God from your heart. Secondly, pray. Prayer is a powerful, I know it's a form of worship as well, but prayer is a powerful way to connect and to experience the presence of God, to pray, to talk to God, to listen to God. And like I said last week, fasting goes with prayer. And the third thing I believe helps me with experiencing God's presence is I meditate on God's word. I sometimes even memorize scriptures and I would speak it. I would tell myself the scripture while I'm driving. Sometimes I would listen to the Bible. Sometimes I would just read a scripture over and over again. Meditate on God's word. And then when you've read a key text in the morning, try and meditate during the day. That's how you remember the presence of God. And then lastly, I've experienced the presence of God a lot when I'm expressing God's love in everything that I do. That's an amazing way to experience God's presence. You know, I've learned this, is I've taken people meals, and while serving them, I would experience the presence of God. I would pray for someone, and while praying for them, I would experience the presence of God. I would preach, and while I'm preaching right now, I'm experiencing the presence of God. Wherever I go, whatever you do, wherever you are in a shopping center, maybe putting in fuel, I don't know what, even if you're connecting with your kids, wherever you go, try and trust God to give to express the love of God through giving, to express the love of God through sharing God's goodness with them, through testifying with them. As you do it, you experience the presence of God. As you serve people, as you get involved in church, you experience the presence of God as you give. I remember Eric Little, the great, he was this amazing athlete, and obviously they made this movie, The Chariots of Fire, about his life. And Eric Little made this statement. He says, when I run, because he had the decision to make, should he go into full-time ministry or should he be a professional athlete? And he said, I do want to count for God. He says, but I need to say something. When I run, because God gave him this gift, he says, when I run, he says, I feel the pleasure of God when I run. I've spoken to business people. They tell me, while I'm doing business, I feel the pleasure of God. I've spoken to teachers. They say, while I teach, I experience the pleasure of God. That's what life is about, friends, is to glorify God and to enjoy Him, to encounter Him, to experience His presence. The Bible says that God is our shield, our exceedingly great reward. God is our reward. As we do life, as we do what God has called us to do, as we do the good work, let's experience His presence. I believe we're going to have a fruitful 2021. Not for God only, but mostly with God. I believe that we are going to make a massive difference. We're going to do the good work with God. We're going to be a blessing to everyone we meet with God. Now, you might be far from God yet today. You might not have a relationship with God. Now, Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross, God didn't say, you must come and meet Him. God sent His only Son. God came to meet you where you're at. God came and He says, He would like to save your soul, set you free from that sin, shame, fear, and guilt. And He wants to give you a new life so that you can know Him and be close to Him and experience His presence. But if you're close to God, I want to ask you a very hard question today. And this is very important. I want to ask you, literally, where is your awareness of the presence of God at? How aware are you of the presence of God? God is with you. God loves you. And God is fighting for you, but are you aware of His presence? I believe every single believer, I want to pray for you today to experience, to grow in your awareness, your dependence, and your partnership with God in His presence. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. Let's pray together. Jesus, I want to thank You. Thank You for Your presence. Thank You that You are Emmanuel. You are God with us. You are still with us. It's amazing. It's amazing to know, Jesus, that You are faithful. It's amazing even to know today, Jesus, that greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. It's amazing that as You are, Jesus, so are we in this world. You are Emmanuel, God with us. You are with us today. And I pray, Lord, that we would be a people of Your presence. That we would be like Moses, that when we wake up in the morning, we'd be like, without Your presence, I don't want to do this. I don't want to discipline this child. I don't want to go into this meeting. I don't want to lead my wife or even be married without Your presence, Jesus. And I pray, Jesus, those that are far from You, that need to make a commitment to Jesus today, I pray that they'll be connected to a local church. In Jesus' name, if you're far from God, just pray this. Lord Jesus, forgive me of all my sin. I put my faith and my trust in You, and I want to follow You all the days of my life. I want to ask You to get connected. Right now, friends, it's right there where you are. Can we respond? We're going to have a time of worship, and as we worship, I want to ask you just to open your heart wide. Let's receive what God's got for us. In Jesus' name, bless you.
Thanks for joining us for today's message. Don't forget to check out our website or visit City on a Hill International on Instagram or Facebook for our updates, celebration times, or ways you can get involved. We are also streaming our message on Facebook Live, so make sure you join us or share the post. Thanks again for checking out our podcast. We'll see you soon.